You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Broadcasting to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah. Post-traumatic winning on the road today. And I can't tell you how excited I am for that. And here in Las Vegas for the next 3 days, doing post-traumatic winning for the Clark County Fire Department. So it feels like it's been a long time in coming, although it's only been a couple months since I was up here in November. And so get a chance to do post-traumatic winning and spread the gospel of post-traumatic winning for the first time to first responders and to include one of my former Marines, Nick Ratiff, Lance Corporal type, United States Marine Corps. So, 36 years ago, he was one of my Marines. Now he's a captain up here. And so it's pretty cool stuff, pretty cool stuff. And honestly, it was that connection that got this whole thing going. he and I have been reconnected on Facebook, I don't know, a couple years ago. And, shooting the shit at times and whatnot. He and his family came down to Orange County. So we got together. Yeah, that's when he asked, "Have you gotten taller?" I'm like, "No, dude. Like, what kind of stupid question is that, right?" So there's a Marine connection, to all of this. So that's pretty cool as well. So I'll be up here for the next 3 days, doing it four times a day. But it's a little bit shortened version of it. So normally post-traumatic winning is about a 3 hour event. This will run 2 hours, with an introduction and with, 5 minute break, maybe. but I thought a lot about what to cut out, and then we'll see if I can do this. We'll see if I can do this. But I decided not to cut anything out. I just have to not. There's a few. Well, I did cut a few things out. Things that are Marine centric, I cut out. Data for firefighter suicide, I plugged in, and. And so I made those kind of changes, and those are just happy and glad, though. But and then I dropped out some Marines kind of centric shit. But other than that, I think the art of doing this is to just truncate what you do. Instead of being as funny, right, and telling the stories as I don't know, in the depth that sometimes I tell them, you got to truncate all that. And so hopefully in that way it works this morning. So we shall see. We shall see as we get going for the first of four of 12 presentations that I'll do. So, but anyway, I can't tell you how excited I am to do it for them. And, you know, and what I believe is that they're going to have a chance to make history. And the reason I say that is because of just what I've seen over the course of last year, the way Marines have taken to it, the way Marines have helped other Marines, and then the way that has impacted the bottom line in terms of destructive behavior, in terms of them talking about it, that ultimately translates to suicide attempts and suicide, period. So, I said this before, but I'm pretty envious of the whole firefighting community in terms of, you know, the whole the whole key to post-traumatic winning is creating those joyous events, right? And so if you're familiar with what I'm talking about, there's nothing you can do about your trauma. Even though I say convert trauma to joy, technically you really don't do that. What you do is you overwhelm trauma with joyful experiences because you can't make your trauma go away, right? So anyway, because of their position in the community, right? I mean, they're special people in the community. And they're around people that have gone through traumatic stuff in their community. They are going to have so many opportunities to touch people's lives, to change people's lives, to help people, to show them that there is a path through trauma, right? There is a path. And I've been kind of thinking about that when I visualize how many different paths there are. One is there's the don't let the monkeys out of the cage path, right? And that's a Vietnam path. Actually, it's a World War II, Korea, right? World War I probably. And that is come home, put that shit away, and don't go near it. And when it does come out, don't say a word to anybody. Just suffer in silence. And that's one path. And it's well-worn, right? There's another path that attempts to do that. Can't do it. Or in the midst of doing it, you know, the alcohol and maybe sometimes drugs that gets consumed take you to a bad place. And so that's a second path. The third path is the post-traumatic winning path, I would say. And that is, you know, you kind of reject that whole approach and you understand the truth and you know you got to talk about it and all that stuff. And then ultimately you know that I've got to give this. I've got to touch other people's lives because I've really learned about this. I've learned how to live. Not only that can I live a good life, I can live a great life, but I got to do certain things, right? I got to coexist, one. Two, I got to live with some self-discipline or else my shit's going to be on the rocks on a regular basis. And three, I got to give. And so that's the third path. Now, I'm trying to think if there's other paths, you know, and I'm thinking in fairly broad terms. But, you know, when I look at the way I've seen people go down the path of trauma, it's essentially three paths. One is you fake it, right? And you're good at it, right? And you're good at it. And somehow or other you can buckle down and not have to include anybody in what you're going through. And you live your life. Number two is a version of that which is not as successful and leads to a lot of destructive behavior. And then I think number three simply acknowledges the truth. And if these things are true, then you have to do this if you want to live a great life. If you want to live a great life. So anyway, I articulate this a little bit, you know, better, I think, after the, well, I ought to, right? It's been a year. What the hell? So it's been 13 months since I started doing this. And so anyway, I'm envious as hell of firefighters and the opportunity they have in front of them. You know, can you imagine to be able to do that in your community every day and from the exalted place that they live in? And then, you know, the way that comes back to you, you know, as it comes back to me, as people send you a text or as you run into somebody someplace, you know. And so and my hope is that as they find success in it, that that word will get out to other first responders. Hey, man, this shit is, you know, again, from the mouth of a 19-year-old Marine, right? This shit is legit. And there can be no greater compliment paid to post-traumatic winning than that. Than a 19-year-old kid who's not supposed to be able to connect with a 65-year-old dude looks at what got presented and said, yo, that shit's legit, man. He's just speaking the truth. And so, you know, and as we all know, the truth lands with a thud and needs no salesman. And that's the cool part. That, I mean, that shit is straight up true. I made that up too. How about that? I love that. So anyway, good morning to you on this Monday. The 49ers lost yesterday, my team. But I have to tell you, I wasn't upset at all, to be honest with you. I drove up to Las Vegas. I had to get up and get ready. I've been getting ready for the last 3 days. And so this week's kind of an experiment with me. I'm not going to tell you about it, but it's kind of an experiment with me. So I was driving up, got a little bit of a late start. So I did some stuff to prepare. I worked out, and then I packed, and then and I have to give props to my daughter Colleen. Colleen mowed the front lawn for me, which I, you know, greatly appreciate. And she was of great help yesterday, so love her. And then I drove up. Game started about 3:30. I think I got here about 5 and watched the second half. But Kansas City Chiefs, pretty good football team. And if you've watched them play, the 49ers had their hands full. And then up by 10 points with, 5-6 minutes left. And you thought, that's 2 scores, man. And then Kansas City, the way they can go down the field. But, you know, again, I think that the 49ers quarterback, for all intents and purposes, he was in his first year as a starter in the league. And you can say a lot, well, he backed up to Tom Brady. You know, look, I heard General Zinni say once, you know, you can read about a lot of different stuff. And reading's great and everything, but some of the stuff you got to do. And he was talking about leading. He was talking about leading and making decisions. He said, look, two I can tell you right up front. He said, cooking and sex, you can read a lot about both of them, but until you start doing them, you don't really figure it out, which was pretty funny. And so I think, you know, I think being a quarterback in the National Football League is probably the hardest position athletically to play because of all the different things you're supposed to see and how few many people can do it and how fast the whole thing moves. So, no, I mean, in his first year, I mean, I think that he's not going to be what he's going to be in his third year of being a starter. And the 49ers got within 6 minutes, 5 minutes of winning it. And so I was pretty pleased. They're the youngest football team in the league, and they're pretty good. And so anyway, but the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, man, that dude is pretty good. So no shame in losing to them. And the other thing was Andy Reid. Just a great dude. And so you read his story, and you saw he and his wife there, and how, you know, he's 61 years old. He's been around football, right, since he's a little guy. And took the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl and lost, and took a ton of grief in Philadelphia, as people tend to. And so so it was wonderful to see him have a moment to bask in the sun. So anyway, so I'm not at all upset by my team not winning. The United States Marine Corps band makes this Monday morning official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to the people who got post-traumatic winning up here. One of the guys is named Aaron Suzuki, and another guy's name is Aaron Rupp. And then to the people in leadership positions that allocate money and things like that. So this is dedicated to them. Can't tell you again how excited I am to be in Las Vegas for the next 3 days to do this. And so nice going, boys and girls.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Yeah, like the Kansas City Chiefs did. Just not saying, just saying. All right. Hey, if I don't say it, somebody else is going to. Check the weather. Tell you what, the weather in Las Vegas, man. I got here yesterday. Beautiful drive on the way up. And beautiful weekend in Southern California. But it changed, the weather was changing. And when the weather changes quick, normally what do you get? Right? You get wind. Yeah, that for whatever reason likes to play games along the temperature differential. Anyway, if I'd have paid attention, I'd probably understand that a little bit better, but I don't, because I didn't. Science, man. Ugh. Currently, it's 41 degrees here in Las Vegas. Gale force warning in effect. I was walking from my car into the hotel that I stay at, that I'm staying at, literally leaning 45 degrees into the wind, walking, and it was not an easy walk. Yeah, no kidding. So, I mean, no shit wind. All right. Time to check the weather around Marineland. And this is about, let's see, an hour and 15 minutes before I normally do it. So temperatures are going to be cooler and, depending on where they're at in the world, and no shithole weather today. Sorry. Sunny and 43 degrees in Quantico. Currently, it's partly sunny and 57, Camp Lejeune. It is dark, cloudy, and 41 in 29 Palms at Camp Pendleton. Dark, cloudy, and 49. Gale force wind warnings in effect for both those places. Camp Smith in Hawaii warmed up a little bit. Dark, cloudy, and 68 in Hawaii, formerly the home of Chris Cox. In Okinawa, clear, dark, and 58. In Afghanistan, dark, cloudy, and I know, I'm sorry, not dark yet, but cloudy and 52 in Lashkar Gah, where Task Force Southwest makes its living. And in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, the home of, or at least one of the working places of Special Purpose MAGTAP, it is sunny and 55 degrees as Iraq continues its pretty cool temperatures. Here, as they get through the weather. So very much, again, like the California desert. So if you spent any time in 29 Palms, you would recognize the weather in Iraq. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear from Alex Hetherington. Yeah, he from the Marine Corps West Expo. So you're going to hear they have a thing going on, their thing, this week at Camp Pendleton. So post-traumatic winning, we'll play that on Friday. So, yeah, from Las Vegas down to Camp Pendleton. And then after that, you're going to hear from a guy named Tony Kappa. He's an Iwo Jima veteran. Larry Reynolds, right, from last week, talking about the Iwo Jima commemorative event. That guy introduced me to Tony. Tony's lived in San Clemente. Since he got out of the Marine Corps. And wait till you hear his story. I'm not going to spoil it, but, well, I will give you a teaser. He tells a story about being discharged on the dock when he came home. Yeah, not to some receiving barracks and, you know, blah, 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 blah. No transition assistance, right? So they dock in San Diego, and, you know, they go through the line, and... hey, man, you're out. You're done. I've never heard of that in my life. But anyway, Tony is just a wonderful guy. He turns 98 years old this week. And he's still, he has an older sister that's still alive, too. So they're Italian. I said, I asked him at one point, I said, is she nice to you? Because sometimes those Italian girls, they can be rough. He started laughing. He said, no, she's nice to me. So, no, let me tell you, don't miss either interview. If you're in the Southern California area, by all means, get to the get the Marine Corps West Expo. It's you'll learn a lot about the Marine Corps. If you're looking to network, if you're looking for a job, ton of people there that you can network through. And if you're interested in just Marine stuff, you'll see the way the world has changed from equipment to the technology that Marines used. And even the applied, we talked about this before, though, the way it's applied to targets that now move, will use artificial intelligence to communicate with each other to conduct a counterattack or to fall back or something like that. It's amazing. So that goes on this week at Camp Pendleton. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.